When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is, what's the word? Delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit Amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hello and welcome to the Browns Blitz. Today is Tuesday, October 10th. I'm your host, Rod Bloom. Joining me today is my brother, Jeff. How are things going, Jeff?
Going good, Rod. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Good.
Doing good. The nice weather here recently has done me well, so I'm not complaining.
Absolutely.
We have a guest with us, Brooks Hinton. Brooks, how are things going for you today?
They're going good. Definitely enjoying that summer weather in November.
Yeah, and you're just down the road from me. So we got a little bit in common there. You're living in Cincinnati. I'm in Dayton. So let's see. We got before we kind of talk a little bit about you and your fandom of the Browns, let's talk about what we're drinking, guys, or what we had to drink earlier in some cases. Brooks, we like to let the guests go first. So tell us about the choice of beverage that you made for the show.
Well, I thought since I was going to be representing the Browns fans from Cincinnati, I got a Rheingeist. They're known mostly for the IPA and the Cheetah, which is the lager. And I wanted to get something a bit strange to try and kind of forgot about till last minute. And so the third most one I usually see is this Bubbles. It's in like a salmon pink can. It's a rosé ale, so definitely a more, I would say like a fruity beer for sure. It says it's with apple, peach, and cranberry. And, I'm not a huge beer drinker. I like more fruity mixed drinks, just the way I like to roll. And so it's actually not that bad.
Good. I've seen that one. I haven't tried it yet. I don't know. Maybe the name or the rosé, I always think it's like some kind of a beer wine mixture. I've never read what it actually was.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of that dry, like when you're drinking a wine, but it's definitely not enough to turn me away from it. I think it's actually pretty, I was surprised that I liked it.
Okay, good. Jeff, I guess you did your drinking a little bit earlier in the day. So yeah. Where do you stand right now?
I've just moved on to water, Rod. I mean, we're in leaf season, here in the land of 10,000 trees. So yeah, as I mentioned, I've been clearing leaves every other day for the past week, and upper back is just killing me. And, the ultras that I swilled down earlier were just purely for medicinal purposes. And now it's, let me just rehydrate and, do the podcast before bed.
Good choice. Good choice. Yeah. We did leaves here a couple of days ago, and I think there's at least twice as many on the ground as what we raked a couple of days ago. So,
right.
So yeah. And only problem is I get done working and I have like 45 minutes of light left outside.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm going to get back out there before the weekend, but I'm hoping they'll all be down by then. Yeah. So yeah, we'll see. So oddly enough, guys, I chose a Rheingeist as well tonight. I bought a few different individual beers, I think, a week or so ago. And this I kind of saved to drink while Jeff was on the show. It is a Cloud Harvest 03 Unfiltered Juicy IPA.
Wow.
So it is a It's supposed to have notes of tangerine, lemon, and grapefruit in it. I taste a little bit of fruitiness in it, not too much. It's just kind of, you know, maybe a little bit, but I think it's pretty good. So, I won't keep telling the same story over and over, but you know, I've been drinking more IPAs, and you know, I think I like to taste more and more. So, I think this is a good one. It's I think it's like 6.5%, so it's right in that ballpark. So, anyways, guys, let's move on after the Blitz beverages. Brooks, we like to have our guests talk about their Browns fandom and kind of just tell their story as to what's unique about them, you know, maybe as a Browns fan. So we'll give you the floor and let you talk about, you know, maybe how you became a Browns fan, any memories or anything special you would like to share.
Yeah, awesome. I always like to say that I've been a Browns fan all my life, 23 years, but it's probably not true because I think if I write with my years here, the Browns didn't technically exist when I was born. So, you know, we had to wait till 99 for the reinstatement.
Yeah.
But I go to the University of Cincinnati, so that's why I'm living down here now. But I grew up in Northwest Ohio in a little town outside of Toledo, pretty far outside of Toledo. And my dad was a Browns fan. His dad was a Browns fan from when the Browns, you know, were good back in their heyday. And, you know, I just grew up watching it with my dad. And I think that's really a great story for everybody that, you know, looks up to their father the way, you know, I do. We had a great relationship. And so now whenever I hear that Sunday music makes me think of him. But in middle school, you know, high school, the Browns weren't that great, and I was playing a lot of sports. I was pretty busy. So, you know, I would say I was a casual fan. I remember being a kid and really liking Tim Couch, but not really knowing very many other players on the team. And then I went off to college, and I don't know what it was, but for some reason, that 0-16 year was the year that I really started to follow the Browns a lot, which I don't know if that's just bad luck or I don't know what you want to call that, but then I really started getting into, you know, knowing the names of, you know, all the coaches beside the head coach, you know, the linemen, all the defensive players who we were drafting, scouting, stuff like that. Just really, really getting into, you know, being a big, you know, mega Browns fan. And I think my favorite memory I like to share was, you know, from a couple years back when we drafted Baker and Ward in that first round with Dorsey. And I remember, you know, this might get me in trouble with a lot of Browns fans, but before the whole Baker Mayfield kind of debate, I was actually a pretty big fan of Colin Cowherd. I thought a lot of the takes he had were pretty good. And I thought, you know, he seemed to call it how he sees it. He didn't really seem to follow the other media stories out there. Obviously, now I think his unwillingness to leave the Baker Mayfield hate has definitely turned me away. But I remember really going, like, thinking about who should the Browns draft this year. You know, we got the first pick, we got the fourth pick. And at this point, after the Browns losing all my life, I was like, I really just wanted to take the safe pick. I really was feeling more Darnold than Baker. But, you know, I was trusting in Dorsey because I really liked his go trade and win now kind of mentality, you know, with Landry and Hyde and Tyrod Taylor and all that. And so then they drafted Baker. I wasn't that upset, but, you know, I was a little upset. But then when it got around to the fourth pick, they took Ward over. I thought that they would take Chubb, the lineman that went to Denver. I can't remember correctly if they took Chubb before us or not. But I just remember that when they called Ward, I hadn't done enough research to have really, like, had his name, like, ingrained in my mind. I didn't know that he was such a top corner. And so I was really disappointed. I remember I was like, oh, I can't believe, you know, the Browns are always going to Browns it and stuff like that. And yeah, I'm more than happy to admit that I was completely wrong. But it was definitely a rough night in the Hinton household, I remember yelling throughout the house, I'm taller than both the people we drafted tonight, Dad. I don't know why we're doing this. But thankfully I was wrong, and you know, things seem to be on the up and up, which is, you know, looking good for the future.
It was a rough night. I was watching that draft with a group of Browns backers, and you could have heard a pin drop, really, I think, in that throughout, you know, picks 1 through 4. And then the room just emptied out slowly. It was wild. I was the same way. I thought the Browns were going to take Darnold, or maybe Josh Allen. I really didn't think they were going to take Baker, but you know, once they took him, you know, I'm a fan, and you know, I want him to do well. The draft is the draft. I mean, just ask Jeff. You know, we've seen enough of these things. You know, it's real easy to react to a draft early. You really don't know about a draft for several seasons. Even at this point, do we really know, you know, if that draft was handled properly? You know,
one thing you can count on with the draft, Rod, is no matter how high we pick or how many picks we have, Browns fans will always be disappointed at the outcome.
I think maybe that draft is a good reminder that we're the fans for a reason, and it's our job to cheer on the team and not make the draft picks.
Yeah, because we can look at guys that are gone, but you know, the first three picks are still around, and they're pretty darn good players. So, anyways, guys, so we're at the halfway point of the season. Browns 5-3. It's still, you know, pretty good record, right? So we got 8 games left. And I guess we can start just by maybe looking at the first game, and then we'll take a look at the rest of the schedule. So the Browns face the Texans at home. Texans are 2-6. Browns are a 2.5-point favorite at home. The over-under is 53.5 on this game. So let's just talk real general first before we even bust out any stats. What do you guys expect to see in this game? Just kind of maybe just general ideas of what type of game you're looking for here. And we'll let you start, Jeff.
Oh, okay. Well, the first thing I think is the Texans give up a ton of yards. So we're almost as many points as we do. I think now it's slightly more. So again, we're looking at a pretty high scoring game, and I've been saying all year, I'm going to take the over every week in every Browns game. You know, the great thing is that hopefully with the bye week and guys coming back, we're healthy for the first time in a long time. Hopefully Baker is able to get the COVID tests sorted out so that he can play. Either way you look at it, I think this is going to be a game of a lot of yards, a lot of points. Again, of course, I thought that would happen with the Raiders. but my first guess is it's going to be probably a pretty high scoring game. The weather's going to be more conducive to passing. Hopefully we can outshoot them again.
Yeah. So what do you think, Brooks? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, overs have been great all around the league, let alone, you know, in all the Browns games. So definitely a good bet there. Yeah. The Texans are such a weird team this year, you know, with the whole offseason Bill O'Brien, you know, drama, trading away Hopkins and stuff like that. And then watching their games, you know, I just pulled up their schedule and I'm seeing here, you know, their win-loss total isn't great. But, I mean, they've got the Titans to overtime. They've got the Steelers down by a touchdown. I mean, the Steelers obviously proved this last week that they're not exactly the team the Browns made them look like. But you can't discount Deshaun Watson and the offense, but I really think this game's going to have to be about Kevin Stefanski saying, we got the best running back, arguably, in the league back. We've got our line back at full force. Let's look at the film of when we were doing good, and whether Baker's there or not, it's got to be the return to pounding the ball, the play action, Baker having the easy throws that he likes to make. And in terms of the Browns' defensive side of the ball, you know, one thing that has been really encouraging is they don't really seem to give up a lot of big plays. I was listening to the episode you had last week and, you know, talking about how the Raiders had so much time of possession. How did the Browns, you know, we only punted twice and we still only scored, what, the 6 points. We just give up everything in front of us. So it's really going to be, I think, for the defense is finally turning that, keeping everything in front of us to actual stops. But I think the Browns could easily turn this game into a runaway if they stay disciplined and do those things. If not, then you might get one of those games that's kind of down to the wire and, you know, they're going to have to fight for it.
Yeah, I mean, if you look, the Texans have lost the time of possession battle, you know, so far this season. They're averaging just around 27 minutes. They're also down in turnover ratio, -4. You know, I think I believe Duke Johnson's going to be starting for him at running back. So they're down there. Wide receiver. I mean, Will Fuller's tough, guys, but
don't let impaired driving ruin your holiday. Always have a plan for a sober ride. DC police are arresting drunk and drug drivers. Drive sober or get pulled over. Message from the District Department of Transportation and Metropolitan Police Department.
You know, he's doing a lot of it, you know, by himself. Deshaun Watson's numbers are good, though. You know, I mean, he's a good player. Very good, you know, and I was just looking at his numbers, and his numbers are actually similar to Baker's numbers, I mean, but better. I think he's, what, 17-5, and Baker's, you know, like 15-7, something like that. And he's thrown for like 2,300 yards, you know, and on an offense with not a ton of weapons, I mean, he's doing a lot, so... but yeah, you really hope that the defense can slow down the few guys that they need to slow down on that offense, and, you know, and make some things happen. So here's the question then, Nick Chubb, from all accounts, looks really good. What do you guys expect to see from him on Sunday? And I'll let you kick this one off, Brooks.
Well, I think it's going to really depend on, you know, are they going to have him on some kind of pitch count? Or, you know, are they going to have him limited? How, you know, you've just gone off of, five games of, you know, Kareem Hunt being your main ball carrier. So, you know, the whole debate before the season was, how are you going to balance the two? And I think it comes back, you know, to that fundamentally. First, are you going to try and wean Chubb back into the offense, or is he going to be 100% right away? I think no matter what, you're going to see, yeah, Kareem Hunt's a really good back, but once you see those first couple plays, if Chubb is pretty much up to speed, it's still going to be the wow. Like, he just is hard to tackle, and he is always moving forward, kind of really what Josh Jacobs did for the Raiders last week. I always felt whenever we were hitting Jacobs, it was another 3 or 4 yards. And then those runs of 2 or 3 yards were 5-7. Right. And I think that's what Chubb does so good, or so well. So,
yeah, what do you think, Jeff? You expect him to be on some kind of leash on Sunday?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I would be surprised if he gets more than 10 or 12 carries, just trying to work him back into the offense. And there's, you know, there's so many weapons, as we've discussed, on this team, that there's no need to burden Nick Chubb in his first game back. So yeah, I think I'd ease him back in. Great change of pace, you know, versus what we've been doing the last few weeks. But not, you know, not dump the offense on his shoulders.
It doesn't matter how the game's going for you as far as how much you involve him or not? or are you just doing it to be careful with him?
No, I don't think it matters how the game is going. Again, I think we've got enough guys that can execute our game plan without having to build a game plan around Nick Chubb in his first game back. And I would think that coming off a knee injury, it's more important to build him back up without risking further injury. So in this first game, I wouldn't put too much on his shoulders.
Do you agree with that, Brooks? Are you looking in that same area, 12 carries? Or what do you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure numerically what, you know, I'm not very good at knowing and guessing that, but I 100% agree. You know, if you're going to have one of the best running backs in the league, you know, for the future, and, you know, everything about Chubb's personality makes me think that he would probably like to be with the Browns long term, you're not looking at a season where you're in your first head coaching year and everything's kind of starting to come together. Next year's really going to be the huge year where you expect him to be one of the more top teams in the NFL to risk something in a game when you have a good record and this team isn't at the top of the league, 2-5 or whatever the Texans are. So I 100% agree. Definitely would make more sense to me to have him on that 12 to 15 carries area.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree with you guys. I would be surprised if he gets more than 15. You know, I mean, Nick Chubb is definitely a kind of, you know, a rhythm running back. He needs carries to kind of get it going sometimes. So you don't want to limit him to like 8 or 10, you know, but I think if you get him up to 12 or 15, he might be able to get something going. But I don't think you really want to do much more than that in his first game back just because he hasn't been playing. So I think that makes a lot of sense. We don't know if we're going to see Wyatt Teller or not. It's going to be nice to see him back when he comes back, though. And it's not because the offensive line's been playing poorly. It's just because of how well he was playing when he was in there. So getting Wyatt Teller back and Nick Chubb at some point, I guess regardless of which game that is and how we play, that's going to be a big boost for the offense. It sure would be nice if it happens this week, don't you guys think?
Yeah, 100%.
It sounds like Hooper's gonna be back also. You know, the team's definitely getting healthy, you know, as a result of the bye week.
Yeah, Miles, I think Miles is hopefully feeling better from his injuries. You know, the guy we haven't talked about is Baker. He's on the COVID list just because of a possible, because of being exposed to somebody who had it. He doesn't have any symptoms. So you guys have any concern there that Baker's going to be ready and able to play on Sunday?
I don't think I have too many concerns. Again, I feel like even if he does test positive by some wild, you know, the contact and just happened to happen, you know, with the Texans in the night, you know, as we're going to talk about a little bit later, the rest of the schedule, these next couple of games, I wouldn't go into crisis mode throwing in, you know, the back, not Kirk Cousins, but a Case Keenum. Yeah, Case Keenum. You know, with the schedule we have and the way that Stefanski has been calling the offense. And another thing to look at, too, you know, home against the Texans, home next week against the Eagles. So a lot of time to rest up this bye week. I feel like it couldn't have come at a more perfect time for the team.
Well, and I wonder how healed the injury, the shoulder or rib injury is as well. And if it wouldn't do him some good to miss another week of punishment.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Well, yeah, you're right. With all the guys have been banged up, he could be the guy who's really, you know, or one of the guys who's hurting the most that's just trying to suck it up and play through it.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll see. Of course, having Nick Chubb back and being able to run more than pass is definitely some good therapy for whoever's playing quarterback. So
that's why it's nice to have that veteran backup, right?
Yeah, definitely. Nobody wants to see Case Keenum out there all the time. Well, not many of us anyways.
Some people do.
Some people do, but most of us don't. But yeah, I mean, you know, that's why you have a guy like him, is if you need him for a game or two, you know, hopefully. So yeah, you know, if it happens, it happens. Just looking at the sack numbers, the Texans have given up 24 sacks, and I'm assuming they've had their bye, so I'm assuming that's in 8 games. So it's 3 sacks a game. So you guys think Miles hopefully gets back on the board here in this game?
That would be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice. So we want to see him kind of get that record behind him quick. That team record, even though he probably doesn't really even care about the team record. He's probably looking at just putting up a big number and winning Defensive Player of the Year. He could probably care less about the 14, because that's not really a big number for him, even though it would, you know, put him in the books for the Browns. But, right. But yeah, definitely interesting. I think Miles is going to, of course, it's kind of silly to predict that Miles is going to do something good in the game, because he's done it almost every game. He's done something. Right. So yeah. Right.
Yeah, definitely interesting to see how, you know, him being back after Olivier Vernon had our only sacks last week, to see if it opens up more for the rest of the line, you know, with him being completely healthy, or, you know, how the Texans might tackle that.
Yeah, I'm thinking they'll probably still pay a lot of attention to Miles.
Yeah. I meant Miles opening stuff up for Vernon, you know, probably.
No, I know. Yeah.
I don't know how you're an offensive coordinator in this league and you're not double teaming Garrett on almost any pass play you're running.
I don't know. I'm surprised, because it seems like in prior seasons he has had more double and triple teams than he has this year. And you know, I mean, the other guys are doing some stuff, but yeah, I'm kind of surprised. Maybe I guess maybe you just have to give Joe Woods you know, some credit for the way he's doing his job, you know, with the defensive
for
line,
sure.
And he's getting Miles free in there, because he's got to be creating some things in order to get Miles those opportunities too.
Well, and I hope that we see an evolution in this defense for the rest of the season. I mean, hopefully the bye week was an opportunity to sort of install some new concepts and things that will help us to be more impactful on the defensive side. You know, obviously we're limited from a personnel standpoint, but getting people healthy and, you know, just some time to game plan. I hope it's not, you know, just us watching Miles do his thing. I hope that there are some other guys involved and we get back to creating some turnovers on defense.
Yeah, another injury to look at too. I think Phillips is going to be, you know, was back at practice with the rest of those guys that were coming back. So just something to look at.
Well, the more healthy bodies they have, you know, it just helps. Gives them more opportunities, more guys to put out there. You know, but I think from what I heard, the Stefanski and Woods, I believe, got together and had some discussions, which you would normally do anyways, you know, at a bye, kind of grade yourself and look at where things are. But I think they did that with the defense and tried to look at what they needed to do and some things, because they feel and admit that the defense is underperforming. So we'll see. We'll see what they found. And like you said, Jeff, hopefully they find some answers, because yeah, you can't rely on two guys. And it's not that the other guys aren't trying. Maybe you need some new combinations. Maybe you need some new schemes, you know, put some guys in different spots, you know, help some guys and, you know, back up some guys where they need it. So hopefully they found some things out, and hopefully we'll see some difference, you know, some differences, and man, some turnovers again would definitely be nice, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I tell you what, we'll hold off predictions for this Texans game till the end. Let's take a look at the schedule real quick, what we have in the second half. And we're not going to do this every week, but since we're at the halfway point, you know, Browns go 5-3 in the first half. What do we think is going to happen in the second half? And you don't have to predict all this, but, you know, I'm just looking at it. And Browns have the Texans at home. They got the Eagles at home. Then they go to Jacksonville, to Tennessee. Then they host the Ravens on a Monday night. Then they go to the Giants and Jets, same place, I guess. And then they host the Steelers in the obligatory season finale. Just happens to be in Cleveland this year somehow. So, you know, just going through this, I mean, there are three games against teams with winning records. You know, Steelers, Ravens, and Titans. And, I mean, they're good teams. Titans have kind of been a little up and down. You know, they have not looked like the team that killed everybody, you know, for at least a period of time in the playoffs last year, every single week. But, man, they're a tough team when they're rolling. I'll say that. So, beyond those three teams, I think, you know, Brooks was talking about the Texans. You know, they've been in some games, played pretty tough. I think you have to admit that the Eagles are probably better than 3-4-1. Took some early losses. They had a lot of guys out. They're getting healthier. They're also a first place team playing for something. And other than that, you know, I think, you know, you have to expect that the Browns can beat the Jaguars, Giants, and Jets. If they can't beat those three teams, then you know, then we're really not trying for the playoffs this year. Let's put it that way. So how do you guys see the rest of the schedule? And Brooks, I'm going to let you go first.
Yeah, I remember looking at the schedule at the beginning of the year and thinking, man, it looks like we got pretty lucky with the schedule. And looking at it at the halfway point now, you know, to see the Cowboys are the team that they are, you know, especially that first half, pretty even luckier perhaps. I think 5-3 again for the back half is not asking to like a lot from the Browns at all. I think if you win the games you expect them to win against, like you said, both New York teams and Jacksonville. And then I think even though the Eagles and the Texans are maybe a little bit better than their record, although I'm not.
As you make plans this season, consider convenient COVID-19 testing from Quest. Get the same test hospitals use without a doctor visit. Simply order online, select from drive-thru or at-home options, and get the results sent securely to your phone or computer. It's a great fit for your busy life. With over 20 million COVID-19 tests processed, you can count on Quest. So order your test today at QuestCOVID19.com. That's QuestCOVID19.com.
Haverty's Furniture is here to help you get your home all set for the new year so you can set the stage with more style, set the bar more beautifully, and set a more show-stopping table. Let's set some time aside to settle in on a new sofa together, because being at home shouldn't mean having to settle for less. And Haverty's Furniture can help you start the new year off right at their holiday savings event so you can create the perfect setting. And right now, everything's on sale store-wide.
Anywhere near believer in Wentz. I think you are the better team. So if you win the games you're expected to win and you lose the games you say, well, we haven't been able to play necessarily the greatest in the big game moments, you drop those. I think looking at 10-6 is definitely not unrealistic at all. I think it'll be nice for the Browns to have the games against their divisional opponents that they lost in the first half, the Ravens and the Steelers at home. I think it'll help them out. And, you know, I think we caught the Ravens and we caught the Steelers at times when they were hot. And now the Ravens regressing a little bit. And, you know, the Steelers last week regressed a little bit. You know, how much of that is Big Ben's injury or whatever is going on, you know, who's to say. But I think the 5-3 is what I would post as my goal for the Browns here in the second half.
Yeah. And what do you think, Jeff?
Well, I think every year you win games or a game, you win a game you're supposed to lose, and you lose a game you're supposed to win. Maybe losing to the Raiders was the game we were supposed to win. I think there's probably a game in the second half of the schedule that everybody kind of is looking at as a loss that we're probably going to win. That may be the Ravens at home. That may be the last game against the Steelers, just depending on what's on the line at that point and, you know, who the Steelers rest. I think the 3-4-5 win range is going to be determined based on how they do against the Texans and the Eagles. These are two games that we should be competitive in. If we win them both, I think there's a great chance that we end up with 10 wins on the season. If we split, we're probably looking at 9 wins on the season. If something absolutely terrible happens and we only win 3 of our last 8 games, and they're, you know, even if they're against these really crappy teams, I still look at 8-8 as something for us to build on going into next year. Yes, it would be disappointing. We'd be outside the playoffs. But as long as we're competitive in these last 8 games and it looks like we're building something here, I wouldn't be super disappointed at missing the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, way back before the season started, I was hoping for 8-8, 9-7, you know, somewhere in that range, and growth. And the thing that changed a lot of this is the fact that the team started winning, you know, in week 2. And I don't think, regardless of who they were playing, I don't think, at least I didn't expect them to be ready to win at that point, just because of the way the offseason went.
Right. That took a lot of pressure off of the back half of the season.
Yeah, yeah. So they won early. So now, it just depends. We haven't seen complete consistency from this offense yet. So it depends how the offense looks. And the defense, if the defense can get back to playing the way it was, you know, the way it played more in weeks, 2 through 6, say, when they were creating turnovers, then yeah, I could see the Browns winning, you know, 5, maybe even 6 of these games if they're really rolling. But yeah, there's a good chance that they only win 3 or 4 of them too, because you're going to have to play against the Texans. You're going to have to play against the Eagles. Jaguars have been in games and I think a lot of people looked at this Texans, Eagles, Jags, you know, run, Titans, that the Browns were going to go 3-1 in this and it was going to be easy. And it's like, not so much.
The book is out on our defense. I think the Raiders showed the formula. So it goes back to what I said about, you know, can they adapt? Can they evolve to be able to respond, you know, to those types of game plans?
Right. If the Raiders can do that, I mean, what are the Titans going to do against the Browns running the ball? You know,
run for 300 yards.
Yeah, that could be an ugly game quick. So, if the Browns can beat the Texans, if they can split Texans, Eagles, and beat the Jags, and beat the Giants and Jets, you know, that's 4 wins. That's 9, and you never know. Maybe they can steal one against the Steelers, Ravens, or Titans. Yeah, it could happen. It could definitely happen. So yeah, but 8, 9, or 10 wins, I'm happy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I think, the thing that most Browns fans, you know, at this halfway point have to kind of keep at the back of their mind is what were your expectations after the huge disappointment of the kitchen season and getting a new head coach and, you know, all this murky, what is our offense going to be? How is it going to work? To then you were winning against the Cowboys, who at the time, you know, we thought were a better team than they are, and the Colts, and you're sitting at 4-1 and thinking, oh, now we should only lose 3 games the rest of the year. You know, you have to remember those expectations you had at the beginning of the season and say, hey, if we're pushing for a playoff spot by the end, that's for a first-year head coach and, you know, Baker under his 3rd or 4th head coach in the NFL, that's a good season for sure.
That's very true.
Yeah, I mean, guys, Jeff, I'm going to relate this back to cars. You know, this is like we got a new driver for this car we're going to enter in this car show, and we put some nice wheels on it, and we've got a nice engine in it, and, you know, and we've kind of got the body together, but we haven't painted it or bought a new convertible top for it, and you know, and some people are expecting us to win the car show,
right?
But it's only half done.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they built the offense. It was understood that the defense is coming. Okay, the defense has some pieces, but the defense is going to be addressed this coming off season.
And hopefully.
I mean that's that's kind of what we've been led to believe, you know. I would expect the draft and free agency to lean more toward the defense this coming season.
Right. We need a lot, though.
Yeah, and you have to remember you're getting Delpit back at the start of next season, too.
Yeah. Which
isn't a guarantee, but another piece, you know.
Hopefully he's after Achilles surgery, hopefully he's the player that you thought he was. So, yeah, there's a lot of question marks still on the defense. And to your point, Rod, it's going to take time to address all those needs on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, yeah. So, but, I mean, you guys are right on target. You look at the growth. You see progress. You see a decent record. You know, I mean, if the Browns win 10 games this season, that would be incredible. I mean, what a turnaround that would be. You know, if they win 8 or 9, you're seeing tremendous progress.
Yeah, and to Jeff's point, you know, talking about you in the NFL, it's so easy to, you know, the last week the Steelers almost lost and the Titans lost to the Bengals. You know, feasibly the world's best football players, you know, playing week to week. So it's hard to win. Any Browns fan knows it's hard to win NFL games, but the fact that for me, whether they win 8, 9, 10, it's just such a different feel to watching it, where, you know, that 0-16 year, there was a lot of games where we were right there. You know, we lost by maybe just a touchdown, but, you know, watch, I'll say something and it'll happen next week. But, you know, we haven't dropped the punt. We haven't, you know, sure, we had the fumble by Bryant at the beginning of last game, but and Baker makes some errant throws, but everybody makes errant throws. So just to be able to go into games and feel confident about the play calling and say, you know, I feel like those things that happen that you would consider unlucky are because you're a bad team. And now to have a team, like you said, you know, in the process to becoming one of those top teams, it's just such a different experience to watch. And whether however many games we end up winning, it's a new Browns. I can't live with this narrative anymore that we're just going to be the bottom of the league. It doesn't seem like that plausible to me anymore.
Well, that's a big step.
Guys, people expect, there are too many Browns fans that expect perfection when we've dealt with darn near the opposite for 20 years.
Exactly.
So you have to expect, or you have to appreciate the growth, okay, and see the positives, and you have to realize what's happening around the league, especially this season. They're, even the best teams, even the good teams, are getting their butts kicked some weeks. You know, the Chiefs took a loss to the Raiders, you know, that people just couldn't believe. Okay, I don't know, Brooks, I don't know if you play fantasy football. I know Jeff doesn't, but guys, The Browns Blitz is in a Browns podcast fantasy football league. Okay, this past week I started Tom Brady against the Saints, and I started the New England Patriots defense against the Jets because the Jets offense has given up the most points of any offense against defenses. Okay. Between those two guys, between Brady and that defense, I got about 4 points. And I lost my match by like 8 points. Okay. All I needed was like a dozen points between those two to win my match. Okay. That stuff never happens. It was Brady's worst game of his career. And it was probably the most, you know, and it was probably the, you know, the least points any defense has scored against the Jets all season long. So maybe it's me as a Browns fan. I don't know. But, you know, all I'm trying to say is weird stuff happens all over the place. You can't expect weird stuff not to happen in Cleveland, even when we're coming back. So you got to let these guys grow. You know, they get their butts kicked 1 week. It doesn't mean that things are going wrong. You know, you just got to take a step back and learn from it and move on to the next week. That's what the good teams do.
Yeah, 100%. And a lot of that starts with who's in charge of the team, you know, how are the practices going after, what are they looking at? So definitely, it seems almost every Browns fan is super happy with Kevin Stefanski so far. So I hope that keeps up as well.
Yeah.
So guys, maybe you don't know this, the ladies do. Etsy.com. Go there and check it out. It's not just for women. It's a place where you can go and shop and find something for the special lady. Go there and do a search for Skippin' Stones the Shop, SKIPPINSTONEZ. Find handmade jewelry and other gift ideas. It's painless. There's free shipping on qualifying orders. Now let's get back to the podcast.
So, Jeff, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay.
You have some entertainment for us.
Yeah, it's a bye week. Things are a little slow. I thought, you know, we haven't done trivia in a while. So why not roll out some trivia? And Brooks, I apologize ahead of time. When I put this together, I didn't know who the guest was going to be. So there's some old Brown stuff in here that may be a little outside your wheelhouse. Maybe you'll surprise me. I don't know. Maybe some of your dad and granddad have rubbed off on you. The way we're going to do this is in honor of the passing of the great game show host Alex Trebek recently, we're going to do this Jeopardy style. So what I've done is I've come up with three categories. Players, coaches, and front office. Okay, front office including owners, presidents, GMs. There's been all kinds of different titles. Okay. And within each of those three categories, there are three questions, a 100-point question, a 200-point question, and a 300-point question. Okay. You can pick any question you want. Okay. The last one to get the question right gets to pick the next question. We're going to add points. We're not going to subtract. Okay. So first guy that shouts out his name gets to answer first. So while I'm reading the question, if you got the answer, shout out your
name. What were the three categories, Jeff? Players, coaches, and front office?
Players, coaches, and front office.
Okay. Yep.
So you can take players for 200. You can take front office for 300. Once we use a question, it's out. Okay. And I'll keep a running total of your score here, and then I've got a tiebreaker at the end if we need that. The questions do get a little bit harder in my estimation from 100 to 300, okay? So, Brooks, you're the guest. I'll let you go first. When I read the question, either just shout out your name when you think you know the answer, and then I'll call on you to give the answer. If you give the wrong answer, I'll give the other person a chance at the question. If nobody gets it, we just move on. Okay?
Awesome. Yeah, I'm excited. Right. I definitely might have a Google tab open in the background, but you don't have to worry.
Yeah, well, that's cheating.
That's cheating. I get 500 points for that.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to count down in my head. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. If you don't give me an answer, I'm going to buzz you. Okay. So no time for Googling.
All right.
Brooks, so your categories are players, coaches, and front office, 100, 200, 300. Everything's on the board right now. Choose a question.
Well, I'm going to start with what I think I would probably have the best shot at. So I'll go players for 100.
All right. Players for 100. He caught 63 passes and rushed for 1,034 yards in 1980.
If this is 100, I'm not feeling good about that.
Rod, you want to take a shot at it?
1980. Greg Pruitt.
You were very close. It was actually Mike Pruitt.
Was it Mike? Okay. I knew it was one or okay. The other.
Okay. So no points for that one.
Darn.
All right.
And that was the 100. Darn it.
That was the 100. Okay. These might be too hard. Yeah. All right. Brooks, we're going to let you choose again.
Well, let's go over to coaches for 100.
Okay. Coaches for 100. And Rod, by the way, you can buzz in if you want to give the answer, okay?
What do you want me to say? Just buzz in?
Just say your name. Just say your name. Just say Rod. I've got the answer.
Okay.
Just say Rod. Okay. All right. So coaches for 100. Citing diminishing skills, he cut Bernie Kosar in the middle. Okay.
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick is correct.
Ooh,
I might have 1993 season.
I might have got that one with the whole clue.
Rod gets 100 points.
I let you say about 5 more words than I really needed, but.
Well, I figured diminishing skills would have done it.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I really needed.
All right, Rod, you get to choose a question.
Let's go back to players for 2. I got to get a players one.
Players for 200. Okay. He kicked the winning field goal in the 1986 double overtime playoff victory versus the Jets.
Rod.
Okay.
Matt Stover.
Incorrect. You got a guess, Brooks?
I do. I know the game you're talking about. I can't come up with the kicker.
Okay. It was Mark Mosley.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have got there. I think I was thinking of someone else.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go back to Rod.
Let's go to 300. Players 300.
Players for 300. Okay. Though he is not a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, his number 46 is retired by the team. Time.
I don't know.
Neither one of you wants to take a shot at it. There's only 5 uniform numbers that are retired by the Browns. His number 46 is Don Fleming. Number 45 is Ernie Davis. And what they have in common is they both died young, actually within 17 days of each other. So Don Fleming's uniform was retired in 1963 after he only played with the team for 3 seasons. Mm. He died in a construction accident.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I'll be honest, okay. I did not know much about him.
Okay.
All right.
So that wipes out players.
A very successful category for
us. Yeah.
We're gonna go back to Rod. You've got coaches for two and three.
Coaches for
200. Okay. His Browns team was the last to win a championship in 1964.
Rod.
Go ahead.
Blanton Collier.
You got it. Correct. Yeah.
See, for me, I'm recognizing all the names, but exactly my forte.
Like I said, it's a little unfair probably to you, Brooks.
All right, we'll go coaches for 3.
Coaches for 300. A Hall of Famer who appeared in a Super Bowl as both a player and a coach. Time. Either one of you want to take a shot?
I'll take a shot.
Go ahead, Ron.
Oh, no, that's not who I was thinking of. I don't know who it is.
It's Forrest Gregg. He actually
won
a Super Bowl with the Cowboys in 71 and the Bengals to a loss in 81, but he also won 6 NFL championships as a Packer.
Okay.
All right. So that leaves us with front office for 1, 2, and 3. Go ahead, Rod.
We'll start with 1.
All right.
Not feeling real confident in this category. I don't think either one of us is.
No.
You never know. Okay, front office for 100. This pariah fired Paul Brown in 1963.
Rod.
Okay, Rod.
Art Modell.
Yep.
Yeah, I was just about to. I would have got that one.
Brooks.
A bit slow.
You got to buzz in.
You got to buzz in.
The trick with these game shows is the buzzer.
The buzzers can be tricky.
Yeah, they can be.
We'll go for 2.
All right. Front office for 200. The highlight of his drafts was selecting Joe Thomas in 2007.
Brooks.
Go ahead, Brooks.
In 2007. I'll try Sashi Brown. I don't think it's right. I think it's too early for him, but I had to guess.
That's not correct.
Yeah.
Got a guess, Rod?
Phil Savage.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Brooks, you could have made it close with that one.
Yeah.
Okay, Rod, last question, and there's no daily double. Well, what the hell? Let's make this a daily double. Front office for 300. With Paul Brown, he founded the team in 1945. Time.
I don't
remember. Anybody got a guess?
I don't remember his name.
Yeah, I can't come up with it either.
Arthur B. Mickey McBride.
Yeah. I knew. I just couldn't think of his name.
All right, so Rod ends up with 600 points. Brooks takes the collar. Congratulations.
It's like those people that were on that clip of Alex Trebek doing the football Jeopardy, and nobody they couldn't come up with any answer in the whole category.
Right. So here's what we'll do. We'll go double or nothing, okay? The tiebreaker question is tell me the total number of points scored by the Browns in the regular season games in 2019. And what we're going to do is give you 2 points for each point that they scored.
So we're guessing how many points they scored total?
Yeah, how many total points the Browns scored last year in regular season games? So all 16 games added up.
And what, whoever's closest?
Yeah, whoever's closest is going to get the number of points that they scored times 2. So Brooks can technically catch you on this one, Rod.
Okay.
Trying to think.
He's looking it up.
No.
we're at time.
Scouts Honor. I'm going to guess 485.
I'm going to go with 297.
Okay. Rod, you're a lot closer.
Yeah.
It was actually 335.
Okay. Wow. I figured somewhere around 300.
There was more. Maybe I'm thinking about this season when we're actually scoring about 30 points a game.
Yeah.
Well, I tried my best to give you a chance, Brooks.
You're up
against the Browns trivia master.
Well, I didn't really prove that tonight. I can tell you that much, Jeff. I missed some questions I should have gotten as a master. But Anyway, that was fun. Good job putting that together, Jeff and Brooks. Nice job of competing.
Hey, anything to honor Alex Trebek.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. So, you know, guys, let's throw out some predictions for the Texans game. Whatever you guys want to predict, score and or individual performances for the game. And Brooks, as the guest, we're going to let you go first here, too.
Yeah, so I would say the Texans' strength, I feel like, on defense is their defensive line. And by all accounts, even without Wyatt Teller, the sack numbers and stuff on the Browns have been pretty good this year. So I think offensively, I'm going to expect them to put up, in the 30s again. Every game that they've won, they've scored 30 or more. So I'll say around 35. That's about what they put up on the Bengals and Washington and them. Texans, I think, will definitely have some issues, definitely give up some plays to Watson and, that offense that they got going on. So I'll end on 35-24.
35-24. Okay. What do you think, Jeff?
Well, that's pretty close. I had written down 34-21. That gets us to 55 and the over-under, what did you say, it was 53.5 or something?
Yeah, 53.5.
Yeah, so I think, I whiffed, against the Raiders, thinking that was going to be our high-scoring game.
Weather. Too.
But I think, I think in better weather conditions, this actually should be perfect weather conditions for football. I think, getting guys healthy, and again, assuming that Baker plays, I think the Browns, probably put up a pretty good number. I'm going to go with 34. And I think our defense is going to put it together and figure out how to stop Deshaun Watson or at least hold him to 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that the defense is going to surprise some people in this game. I just feel like they have a pretty good performance coming. And I think the overall score is going to be – I'm going to take the under. I don't know why. Yeah, maybe I'm crazy. But I think the Browns win 28-17 to break that mold of scoring 30 points in every win. And I just feel like maybe the defense, maybe there's going to be something a little different this week. And whether it's turnovers or whether they get some key stops. But I just think they're going to play tougher this week. We'll see what happens. So, all right, guys. I think we're going to close down shop. Brooks, I'd like to give you a chance to leave everybody with some words of wisdom or some parting words, whatever you prefer.
Well, after my Jeopardy round, I'm not sure words of wisdom would be the right term. But I guess my closing remarks would be that no matter, kind of to hit on what we were talking about earlier, no matter how the end of the season goes, I feel like the narrative of the Browns team that we've seen the past 5-6 years, I think with this head coach and whether you believe Baker is the answer or not, I feel like it's got to be put to bed. I think the talent is too good. The coaches are too good. Barry and seem to have a great relationship. Maybe I'm always a little bit too optimistic, and maybe that's what being a Browns fan for your whole life will do to you. But I'm excited for not only the rest of the season, but the years to come. So.
Well, it's not what it does to most people, but I'm glad it does it to you because, it's kind of done that to me a little bit too, or maybe it's just the kind of people we are. I don't know. Jeff, I'm going to let you have a couple minutes, say whatever you'd like to say also.
Okay. The Browns have, in 9 of the last 12 quarters, looked absolutely horrible against pretty good teams. It's time for them to rebound. It's time for them to take this bye week and good health and put it all together. I don't expect a perfect game this week, but I expect them to look competitive this week. And I think that will go a long way toward telling us what the second half of the season is going to look like. There still will be plenty of room for growth, so let's not panic. Even if things don't go exceedingly well against the Texans, there's no need to panic. As we said, they're still going to have a good record this year, and they will have grown. So, hey, let's sit back and enjoy the second half of the season, and hopefully we look back and say, yep, they exceeded our expectations this year.
That's right. You guys can follow Jeff at Disposer Guru, follow me at Clearod B, and you can follow our guest Brooks Hinton at Brooks H_10. This has been the Browns Blitz, and we will catch you next time.
You can't control what's outside your home, but you can control what comes in. Because Clorox disinfecting wipes kill 99.9% of viruses and bacteria, including COVID-19 virus, when used as directed on hard, non-porous surfaces. So whether it's from dirty doorknobs, dirty shoes, or something else, outside germs won't stand a chance. When it counts, trust Clorox. Kill Pseudomonas, Salmonella, and Influenza virus type A2. Kill SARS-CoV-2 on hard, non-porous surfaces. Use as directed.
Haverty's Furniture is here to help you get your home all set for the new year so you can set the stage with more style, set the bar more beautifully, and set a more show-stopping table. Let's set some time aside to settle in on a new sofa together, because being at home shouldn't mean having to settle for less. And Haverty's Furniture can help you start the new year off right at their holiday savings event, so you can create the perfect setting. And right now, everything's on sale store-wide.